What's good, y'all? It's that time of the year, and we've got bills to pay. So if you enjoy listening to the show, hit the links in the description to support by donating, joining our Patreon, or buying some new merch. If about 10% of you listening right now donate $10 to support the show, we'd have enough to cover an entire year's worth of cost of production. Over the years, I've been very intentional about turning down ads for things that didn't align with our values, so you don't have to listen to us talk about gambling or boner pills or any of that other crap. But that's only possible through the support of you, our listeners. So we've created some new ways for you to support. And again, if you enjoy listening to the show, hit the links in the description to support by donating, joining our Patreon, or buying some of our new merch. And of course, don't forget to tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a compliment will take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Now let's get into today's show.
Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move by Jordan! LeBron James with no regard for human life!
Final seconds. Bryant for the win.
Bang! Iverson. Against Gil, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win!
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What up, what up? Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast. My name's Nick. I'm with my guys, Rohit, Mike, and Robbie, to talk about some kicks. We're going to do something that I would never wish upon anyone, but in all transparency, I have come pretty close to starting over with my collection before. So today's concept is the 10 shoes you would choose to start your collection if you had to start over today.
It's interesting. We all have different feelings and how easy or difficult it was. I like how you say collection. I look at it just 10 shoes I need to survive. Like, I'm not looking to collect. These are just 10 shoes or 10 silhouettes, models.
Yeah.
We each chose colorways to some degree. And we can also have the same shoe on each of our lists. So both of us can have a certain Air Max. Both of us can have a certain Air Jordan, et cetera, et cetera.
But, so you're saying, Robbie, it's our starting 10 instead of my starting 5.
It is our starting 10. This is your – we each have expansion draft teams, and we're building a roster of 10 out of freaking thin air. So
it's like just – yeah. That's what it is. It's like a soft reboot of our of our collections.
The thing is, like, the hard part for me about this is it changes not only every day – but probably year by year, right? Like, I'm sure if we did this, maybe we do this like every year or two, because I'm sure if we did this 5 years ago, it would look a lot different than it does today for all of us.
Very different.
Oh, for sure.
Here's one other thing.
I'm also looking at my list today, and I'm like, I have all these like old shoes on it. So,
in these hypothetical 10 shoe new closets, like, let's say, for example, you choose the Chicago Jordan 1, and that's one of your shoes. Once that shoe is burnt down or, you know, you're done wearing it, you have to get rid of the Chicago. But in my brain, I could then switch out for a Bred or a Royal or a Shadow. But I only get one Jordan 1 in my collection at a time, you know?
I kind of like the way you thought about that. I didn't go that route, but that's pretty interesting.
I thought you were going to just say it's like, in our hypothetical situation, these are the 10 shoes that you would just regen all the time, and you may not be able to afford an 11th pair, but these 10 will get you there. But like I said, listener, it's a choose-your-own-adventure in the best way imaginable.
Totally. And I kind of thought of it as like, well, if I just was going to like start, you know, like I wear all these shoes anyway, so if I'm going to have like the basics of, you know, a collection or starting out as like getting into sneakers right now. So there's a lot of ways like to come at this whole concept, but who wants to start us off? We didn't really pick an order yet, so.
Oh, dang, I forgot about doing that.
But also, are we going to do each of us rattling off 10 shoes or?
So I think we should each do like one shoe. There's going to be some shoes that we have that are also on each other's list. This isn't going to be like starting five where we take it off the board necessarily. Yeah. So I think like once a shoe is spoken about, let's just like dive into that one if it's on both of our lists or all of our lists or whatever, and then we'll kind of work through the rest of them.
Perfect.
Fair.
Robbie, why don't you start us out?
Sure. In no particular order, though. This is just
very, very important. No particular order for me, too.
Yeah, right. I mean, not like we have to defend these because like we just said, we can have multiple. So my first shoe, the easiest pick in my brain, was a pair of Air Force Ones, and particularly the Kith Hawaii Air Force Ones, because my collection doesn't have any blue in it, except for these shoes. These have like aqua. So, and again, if once these got burnt down and all cooked up, I would then switch to like an Ivory Snake or like a Taiwan or an Escape. You know, who knows? But Air Force Ones were the easy no-brainer for me.
All right, all right.
Any others have Air Force Ones?
I have no Air Force Ones on my list.
I have no Air Force Ones.
I have no Air Force Ones.
Okay.
That's kind of surprising, actually.
The committee's spoken.
Yeah. Well,
so the Air Force One is Robbie.
Yeah. Well, I like what you were talking about the colors, too. So I guess, like, I was thinking about this in my choice. So, like, the first one on my list is Chuck Taylors, black and white Chuck Taylors. I mean, I'm probably putting Move insoles in them just so I don't die as an old man. But, like, favorite shoe of all time by far. Like, it's the shoe that if it was more comfortable, I'd wear it, and easier to slip on and off, I'd wear a pair of high-top Chuck Taylors most of the time. But I also would wear just, like, if I only have 10 shoes to choose from, I'm probably choosing a lot of black and white shoes, which is kind of interesting to, like, Robbie's point. I should have thought about the colors more, maybe a little bit more, but, like, there's a little bit of spice in my list. But Chuck Taylors is my kind of first one.
Dang.
I couldn't put them. They were, like, the 12th. It was just too uncomfortable, like, too impractical day-to-day.
Now, I was going to ask, does anybody else have any sort of Chuck representation in their collection? Because I kind of like the format of our unofficial brilliance, where it's one person defends their case, and then if any of us want to add on, we can.
I do not have any Chucks on my list either.
That is kind of interesting. Like, arguably two of the most popular shoes ever, and only one of us chose each of them.
Well, it's funny, because I feel like we're all going to have one like that.
Well, Everybody's Mike, his was your first one then.
So my first one is just going purely utilitarian. Like, I can wear this anywhere. I went to Vans Old School.
Okay, like, that's a good choice.
So it's one of those things, like, that's like the Vans I wear the most. And like the other two models we spoke of, Air Force Ones and a Chuck Taylor All-Star, can go with anything.
Yeah. You got to do pro models so you get the extra cushioning in the Old Schools, too.
Those are way nicer.
I mean, I think there are certain truths that don't even need to be expanded upon. We are old men.
Yeah, exactly. We
need comfort plus right. Feet. Our feet hurt. It could be diabetes. It could be arthritis. Who are you to judge, listener? I guess I'll go next. And my first pick, if this doesn't break the duck, I don't know what will. I'll go with the Jordan 3 Black Cements.
Didn't put the classic Jordan 3 on mine.
That's on mine. Yeah, that's on mine, yeah. Definitely.
I guess I just know my audience really well, listener. But, I mean, it's one of those things where I imagine they were performance-worthy back in 87, 88. I recently tried to play with them and wear jeans at the same time, and they were skinny jeans because I'm a millennial.
Whoa, guy, who is this?
Yeah. I had to show the youngins at church camp what was up because Pastor Rowe was about to drop some knowledge. But, no, the only thing that dropped was my humility and possibly a testicle, because I think I got crocheted with one of
you dropped about 3 pounds at least in jeans this. So.
That's a lot happening.
That's a lot going on, yeah.
But that's the thing about the Jordan 3. And there can be a lot happening, and it's still going to be the focal point of your presentation. It's just a timeless model. I think anytime we see any sort of best of list from any publication, something as more culture relevant as Complex, something more hoity-toity like the New Yorker, you almost always see some sort of mention of the Jordan 3. So I'd be remiss if I didn't put it on.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Like it.
So since we're not taking anything off the list, we'll just circle back to the top again and each go down. So Nick, you also said the Jordan 3 was in your list. I'm keeping track. So Nick also had Jordan 3s. Anything to add to the Jordan 3?
I mean, I think, like, if you're looking at this from a, you know, like, thinking about it, I guess maybe a little more deeply like you did about the colors, like, I think the Jordan 3 is also a good one to look at other colors, right? The true blues, the white cements, like, there's a lot of good variety that's still kind of classic sneaker. So.
And to do the opposite of going on a tangent, this is why I stopped buying new retros of colorways I've had recently, because they'll always come back. You can wear a black cement for 2 years straight and then get rid of it, and then it's wear white cement, you know, just whatever if you only had 10 shoes at one time?
Case in point, yeah. I actually wore a pair of Black Cement Retros from, I think, was it 18? Not the most recent one, but the previous one. And when I wear that particular version, everybody's like, whoa, where did you get those? And I didn't know. I was like, no, these are two retros ago. And that's one of those things, as you say it out loud, listener, you're kind of just realizing, I have a problem.
And so yeah, that's I bought those shoes. Ahead, I have them retail. They're sitting unworn in the closet.
I mean, I wear a 2018 pair pretty regularly too, yeah.
And I mean, I think we heard a lot of inconsistencies around the most recent retro, so I was kind of glad I didn't pull the trigger on those. And I'm okay. If you can't tell what retro it is, I won't either, listener.
So for my second pick here, I went Jordan 1. I have a Jordan on here. Went Jordan 1, particularly. This is just a dream top 10, right? I took the Virgil Chicago, and I'm probably never going to push that out for any other colorway. It's like classic. It's contrarian. It's futuristic. Yeah, it's Chicago colors. It's perfect. So if I only had 10 and I'm not paying for it, I'm running that back every single time I need to be here.
Just whipping a grand out every time. Yeah. I have a Jordan 1 on my list as well, so we don't have to go repeat that one. But I went to Nigel Sylvester because it's kind of worn in. It's a shoe you want to beat up a little bit.
That's a cool shoe, yeah.
So that was my Jordan 1.
Oh,
no,
Jordan
no. I don't think that's
going to say, man, modern classic right then and there.
It's, like, it's kind of like that off-white color with the black tongue lining. Yeah,
yeah.
Wears
red
away.
Outsole.
Yeah, looks cool. I like that. So I don't have a Jordan 1 on my list, which is kind of weird. But it is what it is.
It's all right. It's all right.
Yeah. Also, I love that, like, probably people that listen to this thinking, yeah, of course you're going to have to put, like, Jordan 1 Breds or Royals or whatever. And, like, both the Jordan 1s that you guys chose are, like, not original colors.
We'll get to those eventually when we're down the list.
Mine are. They really are.
Yeah, yeah.
But why not go supercharged? I don't have a lot of supercharged shoes in this collection, 10-shoe collection.
Rohit, did you have a Jordan 1 on your list?
Yeah, it's... Listener, I'm going to give you a peek behind the curtain. Some of us are well prepared, like my three co-hosts. I'm just trying to wing this. So let's just say on my list, it might be on the fringes, it might not. Just catch me outside. Ask me in about 10 minutes and I can tell you yes or no. But as of right now, no.
Can do some shuffling real fast.
third shoe on my list is the Reebok Question Pearl Blue Toes. Just a shoe that I don't think I could live without. Yeah,
I have the exact same one.
I think I think they are a little harder to wear, but I just think the streets remember. Like that, there's a section of my collection that's the Street Remembers collection, and I think the Iverson is the embodiment of that. And I thought it was really cool recently that a professional wrestler by the name of Strickland got a retro of the Iverson. Was it the Question 3, right? So it's now solely... Sorry, go for it.
Was it the Question or was it the Answer? I can't remember.
I should know this is a resident. Well, either way, I'm kind of glad to see that the Iverson collection is now getting more famous and more fondly remembered for something outside of one particular silhouette. So kudos to you. Yeah. And I think... Yeah, you can't go wrong with an Iverson. Iverson is a street champion. He's won in all of our collective hearts, no matter what type of basketball you're into, when you got into it. Like, we all have a certain spot in our heart for Allen Iverson, so this podcast will continue to be an embodiment of that.
I think the Iversons are definitely not an easy shoe to wear compared to, like, a Jordan 3 or a Jordan 1 or something. But my fashion sense is, like, it exists, and then every 20 years when the cycles come through, I'm in fashion. So that's my approach with the Iversons, too. It's just, like, I wore them in 96 and 97, and then, you know, every 20 years or whatever, it's cool for me to wear them again.
It's all right. They say a broken clock's right twice a day, so it's all right, man.
Yeah, that's it. My fashion direction is a broken clock, basically. Yes.
I was going to say the exact same thing. You're not wrong. You're right twice.
All right, who's up next?
Mike, you.
Is it my turn? All right, so I got to go with one of my all-time favorite models, but the particular colorway is going to be the Wimbledon color, and that's the Air Tech Challenge 2.
I was wondering.
You know, got to.
Good shoe. Good shoe.
Nah, what number test challenge?
2. Air Tech Challenge 2.
Agassi, do you have more than one tennis shoe in your list, Mike?
I do have more than one tennis shoe on my
list. Don't tell us yet. I was just curious.
How'd you know?
I like to think we know each other a little bit. Anyone else for the tech challenge, though? Tech challenge 2?
Not me.
No, Nick. I thought you might also have dipped in.
It was on the, like, kind of 15 or so that I jotted down, but I cut it for... I've had an skate shoe vibe. I'll leave it at that. We'll get to those, but I've been wearing more skate shoes, so tennis is not on my list somehow, some way.
Give it time, listener. There's still 45 minutes left to go in this podcast.
So, Rohit, go ahead and hit us with your now second shoe.
My second shoe, I'll just try to take as many easy wins, as the kids call it. Give me the Jordan 11 bread. I think it's a nice continuation of style with the Black Cement 3 that I've already got. And I feel like black, white, and red does a lot. And there's just something iconic about the patent leather. And anytime you see a Jordan 11, no matter how bad the condition is, you can't help but strike up a conversation with the wearer and be like, hey, man, really like your shoes. And then inevitably you get to figure out how much they're about that life, how much are they about the Jordan brand, how much are they about being a sneakerhead. And it's always a nice gateway into getting to know folk, because if we try to stay true to the methodology that Nick kind of tells every episode end by and say, hey, man, compliment somebody on their shoes, I feel like I do that more with the Jordan 11 than I do any other shoe. So in the interest of perpetuating sneaker history's essence, I'm going to go with the Jordan 11 bread.
It's kind of funny to think about that shoe, too, because I too, like, if I see somebody wearing that shoe, I absolutely am going to say something. And yet, like, I rarely wear it anymore. And also, like as like sneakerheads and in this world so much, we probably are all kind of like, whatever. Like, it seems like that shoe's so overhyped and overdone. But how many times do you really see them on the street, like, being worn at this point? Not very often.
Not that much anymore. Not like you used to.
I'm at zero pairs now. I just sold my last Space Jams at Index, like, last week. I went from, like, 20 pairs of Jordan 11 to now literally zero because they're unwearable. And, Rohit, I just want to bring up that you've questioned the listeners if they're about that life 2 to 3 times already. So if that's just your list.
Well, here's the thing. The listeners do not talk back to me. I don't know why. So I guess maybe that's why I've also keep asking them the question. Yeah.
You just want to know with people if they're about that life.
I've been off a couple episodes. I've got to find my sea legs. This is when you're watching the NBA playoffs and there's one player that clearly partied a little too hard. I guess in this case... being a Rodman in the urban metropolises that are Indianapolis and Oklahoma City and Minneapolis. Okay, I can kind of see New York City. But thank you, Robbie, for question watch.
Just an observation. So,
that's basically, I'm the opposite of Tyrese Halliburton. I've thrown only turnovers this game. But go on, Robbie.
They're all wet three-pointers. You're good. So... for my next one here, I'm going with Silver Bullet Air Max 97s, but ultimately the Air Max 97. The silver ones I can wear. I still probably wear that. It's probably my top 5 most worn shoes ever. So no questions asked. Silver Bullets.
Nice.
All right. I think that was on my list. So
I'll put 97 down here for you. Boom.
No 97s on my list.
Not for you.
Which I love the shoe. I didn't even think about it.
Next up on my list is actually the S Kostin 1, which is like the retro is like the 97 or something, 9197, whatever, 1997. And then there's like the Lakai version that came out. So like that kind of like classic Kostin shoe. I have like
nice gum outsole on them.
Yeah. Like I have the black and gum from like way back. And then I have, you know, like I beat those up so bad that I tossed most of them, you know, donated most of them originally. So cool to see them come back within the last few years. And I grabbed a couple of pairs. So
nice.
All right, Mike, that makes you
my turn. All right. So next one I have is going to be the ASICS Joe Light 3. Specifically, I put Ronnie Feig in the salmon toe. That would be my first pair of Joe Light 3s until I, again, put them into the ground.
Good choice.
Not bad. Of all the ASICs, Well, question, do you have more than one ASIC in your list?
I don't. I only put the Gelite 3.
Okay. You wear a lot of different ones. That's why I was curious if you had more than one.
Yeah, I had a chance to, like, you know what? I think I like this one the best. And my list is literally, if you look at the piece of paper, it's like someone in a draft room before, you know, draft night. This looks terrible.
You're about that life. All right, really.
That life.
who's your fourth?
The Gelite 3 for me is not on my list. It's one of those shoes that, like, I have a bunch of them. I love the shoe, but if we're relating to draft night, it's definitely like the QB with a cute girlfriend that didn't get picked. It's like, just doesn't make the cut for me when it comes to like the last 10 or the
but
10
you're saying they're gonna have a happy life because she's unusually attractive considering
unusually attractive.
And you know, 3 years from now he may turn it around and win a Super Bowl or something, you know, like there's always a possibility there, but
there's hope. That's what you're saying, there's hope.
Exactly.
You know who's hot? Brenda Warner, look her up. Not hot at all, listener.
This is an all-star episode for Rod right now.
At the end of this, listener, you're going to see me hold up a paper that says 100, and that's going to be the amount of times I've overtalked all of my co-hosts. But I guess, is it my pick, Robbie?
Yeah, it is.
So I'm going to try to give Nick a segue because I've been unusually selfish this episode, and he had mentioned skate shoes. So I think I'm going to go with a dunk for my fourth pick, if I think, and Robbie will let me know if I'm wrong, and I'm going to go with the pigeon dunk.
That's a good dunks choice. Finally go on the board, on someone's board.
Someone, yeah. It did take a while. I'm surprised.
Anyone else with a dunk?
I have a dunk.
I don't have any dunks.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I got the Safari SB dunks.
You do, Mike? Okay.
I do.
Talk about it, Mike. Because, I mean, I think for me, pigeons are pretty straightforward. There's a reason why they're gray, white, have the little pigeon at the side, and that's the extent of the style. I think for me, it's more of a mythology pick because this is one of those inflection points that showcased to the rest of the non-sneakerhead world, gave them a glimpse of that life, as I famously referenced a couple times this episode. So,
yeah, that's a beautiful shoe. Money aside, that's a beautiful shoe too. Yeah. Like it's a cool story. It's a talking point. It's all the perfect combination of things for a sneaker, in my opinion. Yeah.
So I couldn't put the dunk was tied for the Air Force One, but correct me if I'm wrong. Air Force Ones are more comfortable.
I definitely disagree.
Yeah, you disagree? Sorry, okay. I gotta leave you out there by yourself on that.
Yeah,
see, I think Air Force Ones are more comfortable. So to each their own, right? Beauty of shoes.
Robbie, did you ever get the John Elliott Air Force Ones?
I did, and I no longer own them because the laces are like clink like this when you're walking, and I hate that. I've had multiple shoes do that.
They're super comfortable, right? Like, they didn't get a pair, but like they had that, like, I don't know what they did in them, but it felt like
lunar foam in there.
Yeah. Yeah, it was nuts.
But can we please stop putting metal on eyelids and eyelets? And yeah, so loud. So. There's probably going to be this shoe on someone else's list. I went with the Kobe 5, particularly the Bruce Lee. I could play basketball in only that colorway forever. It's perfect. No explanation needed other than the Bruce Lee Kobe 5. Anyone else?
Kobe 5. I didn't go Kobe 5.
I didn't have a Kobe 5.
I didn't either, but that is a great shoe.
It is.
Next on my list is the New Balance 997. Specifically, I would go with the Kith United Arrows, like retro version that came out, I don't know when it was, like 10 years ago now or something. One of my favorite shoes that I actually own. And I just love the 997. But if you're not picking a colorful one, gray 997, I feel like it's just a good shoe to have as like a basic, you know, great quality, going to get some looks, going to get some conversation started, but also it's just kind of low key too.
For sure. Love the 997. Dang, I didn't put a New Balance on my list. I just realized that.
Me either.
Feeling myself now. I realize, like, crap. Adjustments will be needed. But anywho, so it's my turn, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
So,
hey.
Owe me a soda.
So, I went with another Kobe, and that's going to be the Kobe 6, specifically the Prelude pack. It's like that really colorful one.
Yep.
Love that one.
Lovely.
No, that's
a Kobe 6. Oh, so it wasn't on my list, but If I had to, yeah, Grinches, they have to. So Kobe 6 is on mine too. I can't. Wait, I mean, that's like, I was going to pick a utility Adidas that are just really comfortable, and I like the shoe a lot. But if I have a choice between that shoe and a Grinch Kobe 6, I'm picking the Grinch in real life. So Mike corrected me. So 2 6s.
It's funny you mentioned that. I'm not going to go with the devil's mark and say a third six, but I will say this. I was thinking about this recently. Out of all the Kobe retros, I think the six has been the most popular in terms of the styles that they've offered, the ubiquitousness of them. I mean, I feel like if I see a Kobe out in the street, it seems to be more often than not the six. It seems to be the most prevalent one.
Yeah.
And it's really funny because to the point that Robbie made about the fives, I feel like the five is the proper performance retro, meaning it's been a resurgence of the five more than any other Kobe in the league, especially. But from a street champion's perspective, it's definitely the six is the heart of the city.
But for me, like, the Grinch is so good, I'm going to hoop in the Kobe 5, Bruce Lee. Those are never touching pavement, only hardwood. And I have a second shoe that's only hardwood.
Call them condoms, listener.
Yes, you can. But the Grinch is this. It's so good. It works in any situation, any season. I didn't know where to go from that.
You can't go anywhere else at this point.
100. And 100.
So right, did you?
Row it, you're up again.
Yeah.
So speaking of hardwood and sexual things, I'm going to go with the Adidas Ultra Boost Cream.
Damn, I didn't put the Ultra Boost on my list.
I want the same shoe, Roy.
Me either.
Oh, man. Ultra Boost, that's so comfortable.
Yeah, that's a huge mess.
Oversight.
Listener, yeah, definitely oversight the there. I'm the Nike guy.
You're here knocking the door behind Roy. We heard you.
Oh, man.
That's all a right, good Robbie. One. So, Mike, you said you also had Ultra Boost.
I also had the exact same one, actually.
Okay.
I would definitely put the OG Ultra Boost.
So should I write you down, Nick? Can I put you down?
No, I can't take anything off.
Right? Me too. I'm like, I want to put it on there now, but everything else here is too important.
It's too sacred. Yep.
Too sacred. So, okay, I'm up again technically. Really easy. Adidas Harden 9, it really is one of the most beautiful basketball shoes and designs I've ever seen in my life. I love them. They're comfortable out the box. In the future, I could like wear them as like cool designer shoes. But really, I'm hooping in the Bruce Lee Kobe 5 and the Harden 9, and I'm particularly picking like that the bread colorway, the one I have. It looks like it's like Hellcat or something. But man,
it's that black and red one, I think.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just, they have the craziest material, and I'm just happy technology has gotten to a place where it creases without looking crazy. Like it's an insane looking design. It shouldn't look anatomically correct from like a visual standpoint, but in foot it just works. It flexes where it should. It rocks. Yeah, I can run that bad boy in the Kobe 5 back till I'm 60-year-old man.
I wish we lived in a timeline where that was the proper AE2, because I think if that was the AE2 model, we would have had a new sneaker legacy that could carry this podcast for another 10 years. Because between the AE1, which is not on my list, but I think it's an honorable mention shoe, if anything, but I'm with you, Robbie. Like that, I almost wish that shoe was associated with an athlete that's about to enter their prime and not somebody that's escaping theirs, because I think that's going to go a long way in the shoe being remembered properly or lack thereof.
Yeah, I think that's a great point.
That. Yep.
Yep. I'm still on. So next one for me is I'm definitely on the Adidas train. The ZX8000. I mean, whether it's the original like light blue with the yellow, the crazy kind of classic Adidas running shoe, or like some, you know, like I have like the neighborhood undefeated collab. I have a ton of those. Like that's the black with gum, white with gum, kind of like Robbie alluded to with the Costins. Like I just feel like I could wear those types of shoes day in, day out, feel good about it, never have to think twice about it, leave them by the front door all the time. So ZX8000 is for me.
I like it.
The Grinch has replaced the Response CL. That's the shoe I didn't pick. Yeah, some good Adidas out there.
Yeah.
All right, Mike.
All right. So I got a retro style runner myself, and that's going to be the Saucony Pro Grid Omni 9, specifically the Crystal Caves colorway. Such a beautiful shoe.
But like Nick said, you can pick any color with this one as well, and it's just kind of one of those easy to wear shoes with anything and still super comfortable if it's just, you know, got a long day on your feet. So
you said Shadow Grid 8?
Pro Grid Omni 9.
It's not their fault. Every brand does this, but who names who names these shoes?
Yeah,
what's
I don't
the
have
deal with that?
I have a Saucony on my list in a few picks, but I do not have that one. It's tough to choose between, like you said, the Response CL, and it's like once you get into that retro runner vibe, right, it's like such a nuanced choice because year after year they don't change a ton.
Yeah.
But like the average person can look at an Air Max 1 and an Air Max 90 and be like, I don't know, I think one looks cooler than the other, but they might not be able to name which one is which, you know?
True.
All right, what do you got, Mike?
Oh, that was mine, so now it's Rowett's
turn. Oh, that's right, Rowett.
So, listener, we've been giving you love letters, essentially, with all of our picks, but sometimes when you are curating a collection the way that we are, you need to remember the ugliness of things.
Oh,
and
Lord.
This is the portion where if you go to a museum, you have to kind of take a step to the right, and it's like, okay, it's the Hall of Unforgivable Things. And it's like you need to kind of learn your history so you don't repeat it. And basically, listener, I've vamped long enough. Give me the gray Adidas Kobe 2.
Thanks for that one popping up on any list, actually.
Yeah, me neither.
Like I said, the listeners know I have an infatuation with this ugly-ass shoe. I have famously been told by my partner that I can only wear it once a year. And if I do it, it should really be worth it because when I do wear it, my partner should not be within 200 miles of me so she can literally distance herself from that ugliness of a shoe.
She's one of the people pointing and looking at you like, what are those?
Yeah, yeah.
The one, and the two, like, they're hard to do.
They're impossible to do. And I mean, I know that there's a rumor that they're going to retro this year, but then it seems like it's the best type of rumor, meaning it's never going to actually come to fruition. These ugly shoes will continue to just be a myth. But why not? Because I think you have to have an ugly shoe in your collection if for no other reason makes you cherish the beautiful nine that are also there.
You know, it's one of those things, like, if they do retro, I'm going to buy a pair because I do have the ones. I just like collecting the old Kobes. But you're right. Once a year, maybe I'll wear them just to say I did it. They won't get that much sunlight.
I don't want to brag or anything, but I wear my Kobe 1s, like, multiple times a year. It's with sweat season, man. Like, they're encased in, like, shielding. So they're great wintertime shoes. I wear them to the grocery store at least once a month. At least. Yeah.
That's kind of a... Interest. Do we have any other Adidas Kobes on the list? Like, I had Crazy 8s or KB 8s. I had Crazy 8s as probably like a 12 or 13 because it definitely
wasn't the same kind of realm. Yeah, I was like Crazy 8s, like 13, 14, 15, somewhere like that.
Yeah, interesting.
Unwearable every day. I mean, day to day.
The Crazy 8s are pretty comfortable. I haven't had any problems with those. Now, the Kobe 1s, I'm like, oh, get these off my feet, please.
Listener, it's like this, right? Anytime we watch high school basketball videos, you always see one game a season where they bring the equipment manager in for like the last game of the season when they're up 30 or dirt down 30. Like, the Kobe 2 is the equipment manager. He's just happy to be there. He's happy to put up some shots. You know, he's auditioning himself to be someone's prom date. And, you know, maybe they might be on the cheerleading squad. Maybe they're in band. Who's to say? The band's just going after one thing.
I think they came out in 2001, though, and he averaged like 33-7-7 in this playoffs. So
it's one of those things where that commercial is iconic to me because, like, you have almost like a Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon type stunt work where he almost pulls off the pseudo 720 in the commercial, and it looks legit, and you get very hyped for it, and then at the end you see it. And listener, if there wasn't a sad trombone meme, that's what, in my mind, willed it to existence, was the unveiling of that shoe.
I like those shoes more than most people, I think. Like, I don't know if it's just like the car connection or what, but like I like weird stuff though too. Like,
that's what it is. They're weird. They're so ugly that you kind of have to like them to a degree.
Yeah,
it's the Audi TT, just to put the whole story together, what the shoe is supposed to look like. Let's keep it Adidas. I know the Samba is really big right now. I actually had a friend ask me yesterday what the difference is between a Samba and a Gazelle, and I'm like, none.
So comfortable,
right? I mean, they're tough, but I'm actually going to zig while everyone else zags. I'm a superstar baby, born in the 80s. I think a white superstar. It has to be that, like, better quality, like the 80, what do they call it, 82?
82s, I think, yeah.
Yeah, 82 retro, where it has, like, the nicer tumbled leather. But superstars, shell toes, they go with everything, man. It's like, that's, to me, better blue jean shoe, like a white Air Force One or a superstar. If I have a choice, I'm going with the white superstar.
That's a good choice. I had Stan Smith's on my list.
Like, same vein. You can go superstar, white, Stan Smith, green, Gazelle.
I moved it off for a more comfortable running shoe last minute. So.
This is not a plug, but Nick brought him up earlier. Move insoles. I wear move insoles when I wear my superstars because, like, yeah. Nick just said, they are not comfortable, but just the Run DMC tie, like the whole, like, kind of like nexus point of sneaker, like, collabs and celebrity. Yeah. I love wearing them. They'll never look bad to me.
Yep, I agree. My next one is a shoe that I feel like I'm the only person that likes it as much as I do, but the Puma R698, specifically the original, like, black with hot lava, whatever that, like, color is called.
Yeah,
that shoe is, like, it's just crazy comfortable, and I think it just looks like it's like the perfect early or late 80s, early 90s, like, running shoe for me. And
they rock.
Like, swap out some laces, get some, like, you know, interesting lace. Like, I have like 3M rope laces in one pair of mine. Ooh. That are like black, you know, so they're not like over the top noisy when I'm just wearing them, but at night they look kind of cool, which I think is just a. And you usually get them for like $30, $40, maybe so 50 cheap. At tops.
Yeah, so, you can definitely find great those for shoe. The low.
An RSX, an RS Fast, like any R Puma, you can get, if you're just keeping your eyes open, if you want to look fresh and you don't like the traditional, like, big three brands, go buy like a $40 pair off DSW or something. They rock.
No, yep.
Sure.
Yep.
Dope shoe. Well, I think this is, I'm counting, I think this is number 10 for me, and that's going to be the Nike Vapor 9 AJ3 Vapor Black 9. Cement.
Good call.
The Vapor?
I had to squeeze that one in there.
Yep. That's such a great shoe, man.
It is. Like, I wish I had that colorway.
It's really the only shoe that where you took, like, that iconic shoe from the past and put it on a new shoe, but it didn't ruin either aspect.
For sure.
Like, so many times we see that, right? Like, pops into my head is, like, Reebok did all those Pump Furies a few years back where they did all their iconic colors on a Pump Fury.
Yeah.
A couple of them are beautiful, but, like, they don't make the Pump Fury necessarily better by any means.
Yeah.
And, like, it's like they couldn't do the hybrid thing like with the Vapors. Yeah. Because you're not going to put a basketball shoe or a tennis shoe with a running shoe like that, you know? Even though Nike Jordan pulled it off with that one, so.
Yeah. Hey, that was one of those just perfect marriages, because you don't get that with a lot, like you said. They got lucky on that one, and I'll take it.
I mean, all transparency, that was on my list, too. I think it's as good of a melding of sweet sciences, like basketball and tennis were. The story behind it worked. I mean, I think one thing that we probably haven't mentioned as much as we should is all four of us are suckers for good storytelling, and everything about that felt genuine. And it's one of those ones where I keep hoping that they decide that, you know what, even though he's no longer a sponsor of ours, we wanted to include Roger for one more invite to the cookout, so to speak, and, like, give us another colorway.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what's interesting, too, is, like, I feel like that shoe kind of had a moment that we have never really seen with, like, a tennis shoe, like a, you know, like tennis has had moments on the performance side. Tennis has had moments on the retro side, right? Yeah. But like this, not just tennis, not just sneaker culture. Like, I feel like it grew beyond the segments that it was kind of probably expected to do numbers in.
Oh,
which is really cool.
Everybody wanted that shoe. That was weird to see that, actually.
Yeah. Yep.
Not only that, Mike, you're the resident tennis head in terms of the modern game. They tried to make something happen with Kyrgios and Kyrie, but even then, that didn't necessarily feel at the same level. And maybe it was because both sportsmen that were the subject of the crossover were still on the ascendancy, if we're being kind.
Yeah.
I mean, with Jordan and Federer, they were their respective kings of their sport, and there wasn't necessarily a contender to the throne as of yet. Now,
yeah,
I don't know if we're ever going to see a moment like that again. So I think it's one of those ones that the more and more we feel removed from it, the more and more I think we really realize how hallowed of ground that was.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. Like, you don't get two athletes that are like the pinnacle of their sport that often to come together. And just, again, they typically are never on the same brand. So that is awesome that they're able to pull that off.
Yeah, agreed.
All right, Robert, you're actually up. You have three more.
I have three more. Okay. So I'm going to go with my compatriots here and put a Kobe on there. Give me the Kobe 8. Now, it's one of those things where I think the Kobe 8 Letha is probably the most ubiquitous one, especially when it concerns me, because I feel like I try to shoehorn that in every time we have one of these. But I'm going to go a little bit different, because I think going back to the previous motif of storytelling, I really like the Mamba Curiel 8, and it's one of those rare gems for me where it does a great job telling a story. You know now, because of the Kobe mythology, he is a soccer fan. He loves the game. He didn't have necessarily a compatriot or a counterpart that felt on that Federer-Jordan level, but that was okay, because I think in a way, Kobe kind of is his own dude. He's always been a lone wolf. And this was as close of a indication by him that says, as singularly focused as I am about a sport like I am basketball, there's always going to be that other woman, so to speak. And in this case, it was a woman in pink and bolt green, and that's Mamba Curiel.
That was my number 11.
Yeah, that's a great shoe. I didn't have it on my list, but I feel like the more we have talked about that shoe, like, I wanted that shoe over all the other Kobe 8s. The Letha is insane. It's the best Letha shoe. But the Mercurial is like the Kobe. Like, if somebody is like, hey, you can have any Kobe right now, that's the shoe I'm choosing.
Yeah. Love that shoe.
I'm not asking this question to my co-host because I'm still scrambling for time because, some of us are still trying to do this on the fly. But what about this shoe to you guys makes it feel like, why doesn't it get brought up more often? Because I think, obviously, we are an esteemed panel. We have our opinion, and for better or for worse, listener, you listen to it and you kind of appreciate it. But it never gets brought up in a way that I find very confusing and baffling.
I mean, I think it's like, I think for us, like I think it's a connection between the two sport cultures that is the most organic that we've ever seen, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's the same thing with that Federer shoe, right? Like, you know, being able to connect it to Jordan and have that story. And, like, those stories, like, it's almost like it's a no-brainer to do that when somebody is a fan of another sport. But, like, you gave the example of Kyrie. And, you know, like, that, it's hard to pull off in a real way, right? It feels forced most of the time. And I don't feel like that shoe felt forced in any way. But also, it's kind of like, it's cool to see the, like, iconic boot color on a basketball shoe. You know, like, if you are, like, I think maybe it's a step beyond the normal sneakerhead realm, right? Like, maybe if you're a diehard Kobe fan, you know he's a big soccer fan. If you're, you know, a diehard footwear person, you know so many colorways from, like, you know, the Mercurial line, the, you know, all these other brands that have these footwear lines that go deep in these worlds that never bubble up on the Instagram feeds or on the blogs, you know. And I think that's, like, to me that's a cool thing to see one that hit the right way. Yeah. And maybe even, you know, like, in hindsight, maybe skated under the radar a little bit, but it's also, like, kind of gotten its kudos over time almost.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think go ahead, Mike.
No, I was just going to say, I just think it's one of those that didn't get as much, you know, notoriety until later was because, I mean, typically as Americans, soccer's not the prime, you know, point of, like, oh, I want our focus when it comes to sport. With tennis, I mean, you see it a little bit more. You have the, you know, at least the U.S. Open here where people pay attention. They kind of get that, you know, big New York thing they want to be a part of. But with soccer, I mean, they're like, it wasn't like a player it was attached to, per se. Like the Real, was it the Real Madrid Sixes?
Yeah,
those didn't come out.
Barcelona. Yeah, sorry, Barcelona's. Wrong team.
I was going to say, I mean, Kobe's
don't shoot
a powerful
me in the
guy.
Comments. I apologize.
If you do, his name is Todd Yates. And
so I think then, the bigger, yeah. Road, if I may. So, like, you're probably thinking more like, why wasn't the Kobe 8 popular, or do you mean just?
Just the Mamba Curiel in general.
Oh, okay.
Because I think the Kobe 8 has become the de facto shoe to kind of lounge about. It's almost, dare I say, the basketball version of what I imagine a Samba or a Gazelle to look like, which is this extremely low-cut, low-frills model that allows the customization and the colorways to really shine of the model.
But, the big difference is you can go get a pair of Sambas for like $80, and you got to pay $300 at least to lounge in a pair of Kobe 8s.
Got to pay to play in those bad boys.
Yeah, I wanted the Kobe 8s too, but I'm like, I'm not paying. They're not even that bad a resale, but it's like the principle of like.
No, it's to your point,
make
Robbie,
another dot
one,
swoosh shoe instead of more Kobe's. I get it.
Yeah. Exactly. And so for my last two, I guess now I'm addicted to this concept of trying to give shine to cross-sport athletes. So for my next pick, I'll go Air Diamond Turf 2, the red version, the iconic Deion Sanders, just because it was another one of those ones where it's a snapshot of that particular time in sneakers, where if you ask me, it's probably one of the most quintessential 90s shoes out that there is, for better or for worse. It's bulky, it's strong, but it had to be because the athlete that inspired it was a two-sport athlete. So that was my penultimate pick. And then if you're ready for my last one, I can give you that as well.
Nick has two more, and I have a couple more too. I mean, you can round out the rest if you want. Mike's done too. If you want,
don't mind me.
I'll just be brief as only I can be. Give me the Foamposite ones in the royal blue. I just think another one of those ones. Top 15.
Yeah, that was right outside of my top 10. Yep.
And it's also an ugly shoe, and I think the Adidas Kobe 2 needs a running mate, so to speak, because everybody else is a dime in my collection.
They need to have friends. They need to have friends with each other.
So let me get some off the board then, too. So for one of mine, the Cloud Monster from On, I've worn so many pairs now. I can't. Only outdone by like the Jordan line in terms of how many of one shoe I've owned. No, that's a lie. I think about it, but I've had at least 10 pairs of Monsters, and they're unbeat. Like, for if I have to run, which I'm gonna in this 10 shoe closet, that's the running shoe I'm using all the time. And then Mike knows about this one, the Nano X6. If I have to go to the gym, which I'm gonna do, that shoe is literally the perfected Nano. It's soft, it's firm, it's like everything you're looking for. And a great gym shoe. I cannot recommend a pair anymore. And I will say they're $150, but on Zappos right now they're on sale for $80. And I already had this colorway, so I'm not going to buy them. But I was like, oh, that's a good deal. You can wear that shoe, the X5, like anywhere. It's
definitely worth
shoe.
It. Like probably the best Nano I've ever put on my foot.
So comfortable. Nick has put a couple more. So I have one last one, and we need to get some more out of you two. We need two more from Nick.
I've got a I think I got three left on my list, but I've got a Vans Half Cab. Doesn't really need any explanation.
Right.
That's a perfect shoe to me.
The skate version or the regular version?
I mean, I would choose the pro model. Yeah, but then I have the Saucony Grid 9000, which is a little bit further into the early 2000s than Mike's pick. A little bit further back into the early 2000s than Mike's pick, just a little bit puffier, a little bit fatter.
Were there ever a running shoe or just like a retro lifestyle shoe?
Which one?
The 9000 is like the, I think the 9000 was the original, and then there was like a G9 that was like it's basically the same shoe, but there's like a different tooling on it, I think. And I think the G9 was the retro. I can't remember. I have to look at them because I don't have one in front of me
right
now.
G9 is what everyone's wearing, like late, like 2000, like 10s, 11s. I can't remember.
Yeah, so like I have the Feature Las Vegas collab.
Yep, that's the one I'm thinking of. Then
I think that's the G9. The 9000 is, the 9000 has an interesting tongue. It actually comes further over. It's attached
on
one side. And it has a pull tab on it. Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Specifically, there was like I think it was like a Halloween pair or something that was like basically black on the backside and like kind of like a light khaki on the front. Like that shoe was really cool colorway to me. And there's a bunch of cool colorways of that shoe and some collabs out there. But both those shoes are very, very similar though, right? Like it's just chunky, kind of if you're relating it to another brand, it's like the New Balance MT 580. It's like Saucony's version of the 580s, basically.
Yeah.
You want me to do my last one?
Run it. Do it.
Yeah. All right. We each have one more.
My last pick is one that is probably like one of my favorite shoes of all time, and it's not a comfortable shoe. It's a pain in the ass to get on and off, but I absolutely love it. It's the Nike Air Raid. Just give me the black with the gray straps. I'll take it in any colorway that it comes, but black with the gray straps. It's a conversation starter because if you know the shoe, you're like, damn, that's an old school shoe. And if you don't know the shoe, you're like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? That thing is weird.
And a shoehorn, apparently, to get that bad boy on and off.
Yeah.
Shoehorn? I was just thinking you lather your foot up in butter and just hope for the best.
Slide her in.
Just hope for the best.
Dang.
I'm glad you didn't say baby oil. I'm glad you didn't. Yeah.
Well, I kind of want to pick mags now because of that. I'm surprised none of us pick mags because we're just getting like a free pair of mags. Like, who wouldn't just wear?
Who's wearing them anywhere though?
But why would you don't because you don't have them and you can't because they're worth so much money. But if you didn't have any restrictions and the sneaker fairy came and dropped you off the 10th pair every time, look, and they're like, I don't, yeah, yeah,
Robbie, I'm 5'8, bro. 5'8. That thing looks like a thigh high boot on me, bro.
No, here's the thing. Mike is also the father of 3 or 4. If the sneaker fairy blesses him with that, I feel like Mike would re-up just so he could pay for each kid's college tuition.
I was saying, sneaker fairy doesn't need to know.
So well. I would sell those immediately to get those.
I'm sorry, Mike's, sneaker Mike's fairy. Like, I got a pair of mags. I just sold it and I bought 600 pairs of shoes, just like I would do.
Also true.
My real last shoe, though, is the Club C. Like a sale pair of Club C's.
Good pick. Good pick.
Very good pick. Classic.
I don't have any off-white colored shoes in this list until those. I'm like, I love the eggshell in the wintertime or fall. So,
I was debating whether like the Club C or the Reebok Classic would be on the list, and they both are like right outside of the top 10 for me. Yeah.
That's 10 each. That's 40 shoes. I kind of don't want to say them. Should I say them all out loud? It's a lot of shoes.
It is a lot of shoes, but you also did the work. So, Robbie, you decide. It's okay. Listener, if you like us, write a review and tell us one by one who had the best collection.
They're going to like all y'all weird. This is going to happen.
Yeah. Now, let us know what your 10 would be. That's the question, right? Yeah, like, I need to know. Because I know the thing when we do these kind of lists and when we do our starting fives, like, I look at them and I'm like, man, like I'm gonna look at this in like 3 hours and remember shoes that I just absolutely hate myself for not choosing.
We call that the Ultra Boost phenomenon because, listener, when I said Ultra Boost,
Jordan 4 didn't. Yeah, a couple on there. I took the 1 over the 4 because I think it's easier to wear.
I feel like once I have one, like I could have went a lot of Jordans on there. There was more of them on here. But there were just so many other more wearable shoes after a while. It's like, all right.
Yeah. And I love that we all kind of looked at it a little bit differently. Like, Robbie was, like, methodical about it. I basically approach it as, like, what is the easiest to get on and off and will work on the couch with me all day long? And Robbie's like, yo, I'm going to play tennis. I'm going to run. I'm going to go to the gym. I'm gonna have, like, some fresh pairs to go out at night. I'm like, just staying inside. I don't talk to anybody anymore.
Man, we have a sneaker fairy dropping off fresh pairs. My closet's like looking like a curated TikTok with this 10 spots, like lit up and everything.
Perfectly lined
out. So, yeah, there's a reason each pair of shoe was in there. I guess the Grinches are the only frivolous pair. Like, I don't really need a pair of Grinches, but like, come on, I need a pair of Grinches.
Off-white ones.
Yes,
you can wear those. And like, those are going out. I could go really simple with like a sale Club C. I can go medium spicy with the Kith Air Force One, or full spice with the off-white.
That's a step in Chicago. Out shoes. All right, I got you.
Listener, get you a man that does. All
What's
three,
the situation?
Yeah, exactly.
Or a woman.
All right, y'all. Thanks for rocking with us. This is a fun one. I think we should do this again with some new variations.
He wasn't joking.
Got the 100.
He won.
Leave us a review. Let us know what your top 10 starting over list would be, and we'll catch you on the next episode. Links to everybody will be in the description. We appreciate y'all. Peace out.
Later, Gators.
Later.
Hey, y'all. Nick here. One more thing before you take off. Do us a solid and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Check the links in the description to help us keep the show going.
And as always, we appreciate you listening. And don't forget to tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a compliment will take you. And we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Peace.